What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a conference finals week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Edwards puts his head down, drives to the rim, layup may have been tipped, it's high off the glass, cleared by San Antonio. Tap to Castle, lob to the rim, alley-oop dunk down for Carter Bryant.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, conference finals week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? 6:02 in the Rose City. It's time for Dirt and Sprague, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. I'm Dirt, no Sprague, but Swag.
Happy Friday. I got him home.
Has made his return.
Papa Swag is home.
Let's get the crowd reaction here. Oh. There it is. The chicks dig it. Welcome back.
Thank you. We
have a lot to get to on the show today. No better place to start than your homeward bound journey over the last, 48 hours?
30 hours, 1,650 miles.
Now, I got two photos from you. One was at the beginning of the journey, loading it in the van. Here we go, homeward bound, we're coming home. And then, we have made it.
We've arrived. He's in a rehab facility.
We're back,
so
baby.
We still have a lot of work to do.
Okay, there's still a long road to recovery. But we're back in the right area.
We are back home where we have familiar surroundings, lots of family and friends.
Yes, people can go visit.
He's at a point now where he can have visitors and talk and catch up. So, I do not recommend.
I got a lot of questions.
Fire away.
So, I've done the drive, obviously, for different reasons, but I've driven to Phoenix, Arizona for the Final Four.
Yeah.
And the way down was, I mean, that's much different when you're going to a sporting event, right? Like you're going to, enjoy something and you're going for much different reasons. But I just remember the feeling on the drive home, I'd imagine is probably somewhat similar than the drive home feeling of just like, oh my God, we have how many hours to go?
Yeah.
So where did, like, the van looked big. He's obviously in the hospital bed.
Yeah, so
where did you sit?
So think about, like, if you have, like, a small travel trailer or even the campers.
Okay.
So that used to sit, like, on the bed of, it would sit on the bed of a big pickup truck.
Right.
So there was initially, so you've got the driver up front.
Right.
And then there's two drivers, so they alternate.
Back and forth, because if they can't stop, you got to go.
Yeah, there's a little bunk for the other driver, so they can sleep, that's got a little curtain, like things you see in motor coaches.
Yeah, you can go lay down for a little bit if you need to.
Then there's a captain's chair for the nurse.
Okay.
So we have a nurse with us.
Yes, because in case something goes wrong.
So, plus he needed feedings and
fluids
some other
and
attention
all sorts
and
of
other stuff. We're still not all the way back to normal yet.
Yeah, the medical care does not stop for 30 hours. It has to continue.
No. And then there's a slot. So he's on like an ambulance gurney. So he's lying down.
Yes.
So there's a slot for that to come in. Then directly across there, you have the little table with the little bench seats.
Sure.
So that's where I was. And then the table would push down and.
Okay. So you have a little desk.
But it was only
something
4 feet in length.
So you can't lay down.
So I can either, if I sit up, I can stretch my legs out.
Got it.
If I want to lay down, I either have to curl up
or fetal position.
My legs kick out the side.
Okay.
And they're resting on something else that's
towards
the end of the van.
Well, and obviously, your father's going through much more than you are. It's almost like the.
And you're like, for me, it's like, I don't care.
I just want to get him home.
Just get him home.
Just get this thing over
with.
What do
I have to do to get him home?
Yeah. So what did you do for 30 hours? 30 hours? Because it's straight drive. I mean, you stopped to grab food or get gas or bathroom or whatever.
I hadn't been familiar with. with the Love's truck stops.
Yeah,
so Love's. I don't know if the transport company had a deal.
Love's truck stops are pretty solid.
But pretty solid. Bathrooms were very clean.
Yes.
Coffee was always hot and fresh.
Isn't it amazing how certain parts of the country have places like that to stop? I don't feel like we, and maybe we do in pockets
well, there's
of Oregon.
A bunch.
But...
Well, we took, so we went due north, pretty much due north through all of New Mexico, which...
Did you have a window? Could you see out of the
car?
Yeah,
we had windows.
Okay, so you're not boxed
so
into a
blinds,
prison.
You know,
okay.
That you could put up or down.
That's nice.
So,
that's
yeah,
solid.
So there were windows you kind of see.
Yeah.
So yeah, all the way. And then we cut across the southwest corner of Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And then through southern Utah. That was through the night. So I didn't get to see. We went through Moab.
Yeah.
On your way up to Provo and
but
Salt Lake.
But it's in
Lake.
The middle of the night.
That was
the
in
night.
The middle of the night.
Yeah, you're not seeing anything there.
And so sunrise, we were in the middle of Idaho, out past Twin Falls on the way to Boise.
You're hauling ass overnight, man.
So, yeah, there are. If you go down 84, there's some Loves out there in, like, Milton Freewater and Ontario and
sure.
all that sort of stuff.
I don't go that far east very often. That
yeah.
happens. Very rare to make it all
so,
the way
yeah.
out there. Usually stops at a certain
so,
point.
So, yeah. So you had to stop. We had to stop. If they had to give him a feeding or, you know, tend
yeah.
to him, we had to stop. We couldn't be moving while that was going on.
Makes sense, right? Make sure
so,
this
yeah.
is safe. So did you, like, load up stuff on your iPad? Did you just get work done? You
they
sit
had
there
a
and read?
They had Wi-Fi in the van.
Yeah.
So when we initially left, once we got in and just got all settled and, you know, my dad was a little anxious and we were talking and that sort of stuff, but then he kind of relaxed and would nod off.
Right.
And so
goes
I had,
in and out.
Wednesday was getaway day for baseball. So yeah, the Mariners were playing at like 2 p.m.
So you're so watching baseball.
We watched them almost blow it against the White Sox. They tried to give it away.
They did.
Watched. And that Wi-Fi, I mean, when you're out in the middle of nowhere, they're, you know,
a little spotty here or there.
A little spotty, but yeah. watched most of game two
oh,
of
okay.
the Thunder and Spurs.
Yeah, when you're in the, yeah, that's not bad. So
yeah.
you got to watch that game. So you
so,
had
yeah.
things to entertain you at least. You had some
so,
television
yeah, we
options.
Had that.
And
it was tough to sleep. I was able to, you know, at least lie down, close my eyes, but.
Not off for 30 minutes probably, and then
yeah.
you wake up, a bump in the road
know,
or something.
Hour and a half, I like roll over.
What time is
what
it?
What is it?
We're going to catch up. I'd imagine this is a big sleep weekend in the Swigart household.
Yes,
let's catch
so,
up on some Z's this weekend.
Yeah, my wife has a very, very busy weekend. She is preparing for her next production directorial thing that's coming in October, but it's very involved. She likes to bite off more than she thinks she can chew at one time.
Yes.
Ambitious as hell, which is great.
Right.
But the yeah, the lead up to it. So she's gonna be occupied most of the weekend.
Which is almost perfect for you. Like you
Hops
get home
out of town.
Got nothing going on. Catch up on sleep,
so yeah.
relax,
I
get
might
back
try
into
to go.
Groove.
I have not swung a golf club at all this spring.
It's gonna
I've
be 80
probably
degrees
played
today.
Less golf than you.
Yeah, that takes a level.
There's like maybe one or two rounds. So
sure.
So, yeah, so maybe I'll go swing a golf club.
That's not a bad thing to do this weekend. It's going to be 80 degrees today. Get out, feel a little sunshine.
So we'll see. The house, you know, needs some attention.
Yeah,
so
right.
if I exert energy, it'll be cleaning up and, you know, it's just stuff is taking over.
That's
so,
usually the way it goes.
So, yeah.
When you're gone for a couple of days.
The Knicks might sweep this thing by Monday.
Yeah, I don't think we need to worry too much about that series after last night. We'll get to that today.
But,
well, I'm just glad everybody's home. Everybody's
we're
doing
home.
All right.
6 full weeks at University Medical Center in El Paso.
Yes.
Huge thank you. It was kind of fun. A whole bunch of the nurses and therapists, like, he had been there. Normally, people aren't there in his condition that
no.
long. One of two things happens. They're either local, you know,
and you get
from
them
the
out
area,
to a rehab facility
out,
or whatever.
Or they don't make it.
Right. It doesn't end
and
well.
So, yeah, 6 full weeks, 3 weeks in ICU.
Man.
And so, yeah, a lot of people came down to
I'd imagine.
Well.
When your dad's got a great personality, too, I'm
oh,
sure
yeah.
if he was talking, if he had a
oh,
chance
yeah.
to chat up with the nurses, he was doing it.
That is the
cracking
speech
jokes.
Therapist.
And,
oh,
yes,
yeah.
he was having that sounds exactly like your dad. Well, I mean, look, I'm glad that the journey is done. You have made it. The Homeward Bound is
so
over.
So we got him home.
No more flights to El Paso, Texas.
No.
Don't ever go back to El Paso, Texas.
New Mexico's off.
Your dad's not allowed to
yeah.
go back to New Mexico
no.
ever again.
We're
he's
done.
Banned. We
We're
need to call the
there.
Governor of New Mexico and put like a
yeah.
you know an APB out for him or something in case he steps foot in this territory. We're arresting
no.
him and sending
just
him back to Oregon.
Deport him back.
Get
to
him
Oregon.
Out of here, okay?
Yeah.
You're not allowed in
if
this
he gets
state.
Away.
If he squirrels his way into New Mexico
so,
5 years
yeah.
from now, he's not allowed
so, yeah.
to do it.
Thanks to Brandon and Schultze.
They were great. Schultze wasn't here yesterday. Brandon ended up filling
Ended up doing the whole week.
He did the whole week.
I think it was 18 or 19 days was in El Paso over the last month and a half. Thanks.
You've been in now.
You guys being understanding and dealing with stuff on the fly and not knowing if, are you here? Is he not here? Yeah. Where's swag?
There's
what's
things
going
more
on?
Important in life than this stupid little radio show.
Thanks to everybody for indulging me. And the crew behind the scenes for doing stuff. So, yeah, I am now home for a month.
Hey, and then you go to Italy
solid
for a
solid month, and then, yes.
Are you going to be at the Fan Golf Classic? Are you leaving after?
No, we leave before.
Oh, you're missing the Fan Golf Classic this year. No Jason T. Swigart out there.
No. So, I am in very much need of a vacation.
An actual vacation? Yeah.
To get away and just lose myself somewhere else with my wife for a while.
I think you'll do that in Italy for a couple of weeks this summer.
So hopefully I don't completely drain the bank account in the process or decide.
You will. What the hell?
You know what?
You know? You never know. Tomorrow's not guaranteed.
Over there? You know what I found that is having a, it's going through things like college football. Mm-hmm. There are leagues of American football over in Europe.
Are you going to go to an American football game while you're in Italy?
Check it out? I don't know.
Don't do that. If you go to a sporting event, go to a, but don't go to American football.
I won't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, is like, man, I wonder if they want like American announcers.
Hey, they need
the
a play-by-play guy. You're just drinking your cappuccinos. I'm not coming home, baby. This is a one-way ticket. Let's refund those bad boys. I'm out of here.
What are we doing?
I'm living in Italy the rest
like
of my
Italy,
life,
sweetheart. Let's go.
Just got to learn the language slowly but surely.
God,
now let me ask you this: we had a conversation yesterday about, or maybe it was 2 days ago. I don't know. It's all a blur at this point about learning languages and how long it takes and all that. Are you attempting to learn Italian?
No. I
are you going to in the next month?
I need to learn some basic stuff. But we asked.
I mean, you'll be on a cruise in and out, and there'll be people who
cruise,
speak English.
Yeah, that's all speaking English. They said no. If you are in the big cities in Italy, everybody will speak English that you need to.
Right.
So the only places we do have one, we're going up to Florence and up into Tuscany. We're going on a wine tour or something while we're up there. They said if you get out into that area, you may run into some places that
there'll be a communication barrier.
Speak much English.
Yeah. That's what you
but
need
we
to
were
know.
Told, no, you don't need to go learn.
Can I get a glass of wine? You need to know that one.
Exactly.
More pasta,
where's
please.
Where's the bathroom?
Where I got to take a dump.
Where's the train?
How do we get to the train? Get the basics out of the way.
Exactly.
You'll be okay. Well, that's around the corner.
I was told that, no, you don't need to go diving into Rosetta Stone or Babel or whatever you need to do.
Well, last question for you on the journey, and then we'll set up the show. What was the worst part of the drive? Now, I know some of it happened overnight, but what is the worst part to go with, like, oh my God, there's nothing here? And I'm sure lots of chunks had that, but was there a stretch where you're just like, Jesus, why would
actually
live the here?
Worst part was, so we were getting, it was yesterday morning, so sun comes up, the Oregon border's coming up,
you're in Idaho,
we get to Oregon 84, there were four or five different construction zones that narrowed down to one lane.
Oh no.
And we're just like,
can we just get
so
there?
Initially I'm looking because my brother and sister are like, what's your ETA? And initially like,
so you're plugging
like
in the GPS on your phone.
1 o'clock.
Right.
I'm trying to guesstimate. It's like, how many more stops are we going to have?
A couple stops along the way.
And then we get bogged down in this. And then it's like, it's looking like closer to 2.
2:30.
Yeah. It's 3:15 when we finally got back.
Oh,
and you're
God.
Like, you're so close. And
you're going
dad,
through Eastern Oregon. There's nothing in Eastern Oregon.
Yeah,
just barren land.
I mean, it was nice. You catch up to the Columbia River at Boardman.
Yeah, okay.
And it's nice to be reminded of, you know, my dad sort of was peeking out the window. He had a window. He's like, I love to see trees. There's no trees.
Yeah, we missed some trees, man.
No trees in El Paso.
Not a lot of trees down there in El Paso.
Did you forget just how ginormous the Columbia River is?
Yes, you forget. I think when you leave our pocket of the country, you forget how beautiful our pocket is.
Yes.
I mean, depending on where you go, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're not the only area that's
no.
nice. But if you go certain places, you're just... It's a slap across the forehead of like, that's right. We live in a pretty cool place, man. It's beautiful. We got waterfalls and rivers and trees.
I need to go spend more time in like Hood River.
Yes, Hood River's gorgeous, man. Take that 84 route over there.
Exactly.
Go get some wine. Stop by a brewery on the way. Well, it's great to have you back, Swag. I know it's been a long journey for you.
Glad to be back. I did, I was able to take in some things.
Yeah.
Two things. I am sure you both got to them show related.
Oh,
that I saw. Could not be happier for the show and the people involved. One, Our good friend of the show, Ben Golliver, announced he is got a gig with ESPN.
Yes, that
as
happened.
As a national NBA writer. Could not be happier for him.
We are efforting to have him on the show next week.
I'm sure that once he gets all settled and figures out kind of what his new normal will be.
The communication channel has already been opened to bring old Ben Golliver back on the show.
And as if the drama of LSU and Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss was not at a heightened sense.
Oh, we talked about it.
I saw the drop. I'm like, I know they're going to talk about this unless something.
Here we go, man. Here we go.
Take your hand and put it down.
Eddie O with Lane Kiffin it's for perfect. The season.
Play some damn things. Make sure you got two.
He's back, baby. He's back.
Our
it's
man, Matt Moscona, must be
just... that's a good stop we'll have to do at some point, like a post-spring football check-in of just like, what is that circus like down
that
there?
Needs, if you want to talk about a reality show.
It would be phenomenal.
Like
it would
those
be incredible.
Two, like old-fashioned, like Mr. Belvedere, or something like that.
A former head coach who was fired under very
like Edo's now the butler for the Kiffin family, or something like that.
That's the only way I could get back into Baton Rouge. It's the only way they would rehire me.
Yeah,
we took a walk down memory lane yesterday, remembering how he got fired, and it's like, oh yeah, that was a little messy. And at LSU, they just don't care, man. There's no such thing as messy. So we talked about that yesterday. A couple of funny stories.
I just saw those two things for the show.
Oh,
and I'm
perfect.
Like, I'm sorry I wasn't there.
Mm, the gift that keeps on giving, baby.
So, yeah.
We do have a lot to get to on the show today. We'll get through the night in sports last night. No Sprague today. He is out. I do. He cracks me up. We are both not great at, like, taking days off. We're not good. We do our, like, if you're going on a vacation, you go on a vacation, right?
Right.
Take your week off. But, like, just a random day here or there. Like, hey, let's make it a three-day weekend. Neither of us are very good at that. And he always cracks me up because he is the... Whenever something comes up for me, so next week, Dusty asked me earlier this week, he said, hey, there's an Oregon sports, you know, golf tournament on Thursday.
Yeah.
Would you like to go play? And it's one of those like, wait a minute, you want me to take a day off to drive to Eugene and play in a country club in a golf tournament? And
an approved.
I'd love to. Yes. Sure. So I told Sprague that. And then it also dawned on me that next Friday. So I asked the wife, hey, can I go play golf in Eugene next Thursday? She said, yeah, it's no problem. And then she asked, like, well, is it going to affect Friday? And I thought, well, what's going on Friday? And it totally blanked on me that we have an ultrasound again next Friday. And it's at 9 a.m. And it's one of those, like, I want to be there for those. So it's like, oh, that's right. By the way, I'm out next Thursday and Friday. And Sprague is the king. Whenever I tell him I'm going to miss a show or two, and it's an immediate, like, well, I'm going to take tomorrow off. It's like, wait a minute, you're missing a show? So yesterday he's like, are you cool if I take tomorrow off? I'm like, that's fine, man.
Solo shows more than Sprague.
Oh, he can't stand it. And I don't blame him. Solo shows aren't fun. You know, we get through it and all that. It's not quite the same. But so yesterday here in one of the commercial breaks, he goes, I think I'm going to take tomorrow off. Are you okay with that? I'm like, yeah, dude, go ahead, man. So whenever I let him know that I'm going to miss a show and it's an immediate response, sometimes it's the same day as me. And then it becomes like, hey, you guys need to find a fill-in. And I'm like, what do you mean you guys need to find a fill-in? I was already taking the day off. Yeah. He's the one that needs to find the fill-in. So Sprague's out. It's his daughter's birthday. It's a three-day weekend. Now he's making it a four-day weekend. So happy birthday to his youngest. And they're going to the coast this weekend.
That's awesome.
And I got a feeling that his late strategy yesterday is a strategy that a lot of people planned out because those roads were light on the way in today. I'd imagine a Memorial Day weekend, a lot of folks had the same idea of, you know what's better than a three-day weekend?
A four-day weekend.
Especially
when the weather looks pretty decent all
weekend.
When it's
82 degrees today and it's going to be sunny outside.
Yeah.
And so he's out today. We'll all be back together. There will be no show Memorial Day Monday, obviously, so we'll all be back together
on
Tuesday.
Will get, the way things worked out, Portland Fire.
Oh.
On the Fan Memorial Day.
Hey.
I think it's a 5 o'clock tip, so 4:45.
Look at that. Our tanking, non-tanking Portland Fire.
Yeah, I keep... Why?
We need to lose a little bit more.
We're like an MLB team, like calling people up and back and auctioning
back and
them. And
back and forth, man.
Now you're DFA'd, and I don't know what's going on.
Is DFA a thing in WNBA?
I don't know.
What's the term of the WNBA? Because I can understand a DFA.
I think it's waived. So you're waived.
Let's pile up some L's here.
Let's see.
As Sakanik has claimed, doo-doo for Juju. That's what we need to do this year. That's our goal.
Gotcha.
Doo-doo for Juju. Okay?
Are we really doing that? But I know there were some injuries and there were some players that were playing overseas that weren't done overseas. And
I don't know.
I'm very curious.
You would be able to answer those questions better than me. I got
nothing. I'm trying
for you
to
there,
keep
Bob.
Up, but yeah, I don't know.
I just really turned on the game the other night and was bummed that Caitlin Clark wasn't playing, and I thought, this is stupid. This is a problem in the WNBA, too. She's a star. I was excited to watch
yeah,
the
they,
game.
Did they get fined?
They did get fined. Yeah. The league was not very happy with them. We'll get to that. That's tucked away in the notes somewhere today. Let's start, though. Just lots. We got a lot of college football stuff in the notes randomly today. An AD at a smaller, not smaller conference, Power Four, but not SEC or Big Ten, taking shots at the SEC. We had a president in the SEC acknowledge that he wants to secede from the union, so we'll get to that. We have a coach who was taking another shot at another program. Like, this guy just can't top take and swing. So, got a lot of college football stuff in the notes. We have a new leader in the clubhouse, potentially, or at least finalist, for the Trailblazers coaching job. There is a name out there that popped up yesterday.
Oh, boy.
That is a turn back the clock machine. And from an entertainment standpoint, please, for the love of God, let it happen, because it would be glorious. So we'll get to that at the top of the hour.
Does that have to do with the recent firing?
I don't know. Oh. Wait and find out. So that's coming up at 7. We'll talk about the Blazer coaching search and the reported finalists from Mark Stein from yesterday. Let's start, though, with the night in sports last night. Is the Eastern Conference Finals done after the Knicks take a 2-0 series lead? And rust continues to be the story in this sport. So we'll kind of dive through also the really tragic news that happened in the sports world yesterday. So kind of a recap, everything that went down yesterday. We're off and running. Happy Friday, everybody. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Happy Friday, everybody. We made it. Last day of the week. 3-day weekend coming up. No shows for everybody on Monday, so it'll be a long weekend for everybody involved.
Is the Rose Festival going on?
I think so. Isn't that usually Memorial Day weekend?
I saw Diego Chara's the Grand Marshal of
parades. Okay, that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
I haven't been. When was the last time you went to a parade?
Because
you used to march in them all the time. You were the parade king.
Yes, I was. And
been a minute.
I think maybe when Paxton was little.
Parades are a great thing.
We might have gone to like the Starlight Parade one time, because that one's a little. One, it's not as long.
Sure.
Two, it's at night. They throw candy and other stuff. So
kids are having a great time.
Maybe when he was like 3 or 4. And,
it's an easy kid activity to go, and they see all the things and the fire trucks going through and the lights and the bells and the whistles
that
and all that.
That was probably it.
Yeah, it's been a while for me. But I'm sure there's some parades coming up. The school year is almost done. It's Memorial Day weekend. We're careening our way into the summer. It's going to be 80 degrees. Get that air conditioner going today. I'm playing golf after the show, so I'm excited about that. My weekend mind is already kicked in. We'll battle through, though, until 10 a.m. because I got a 12:20 tee time. Lots to get to on the show today. Let's start, though, in the world of sports from yesterday. Ended up being an eventful day for good and bad reasons. Some just a horrifying story out of the NASCAR world yesterday. We can start there. It was one of those like headlines you see and you're like, what? Have I been missing some like week in and week out health updates? Has this been an ongoing thing? Like,
no.
What is happening right now? Kyle Busch passed away, NASCAR driver at the age of 41. Rapid leaves, 41 years old. He was put into the hospital. He was found unresponsive on Wednesday. He's been dealing with a couple of illness-related things over the last week or so. It was there was a clip of him just winning a race 5 days ago.
Yeah, he won on the truck series.
And I see this interview pops up, and he has a quote in there of like, man, you enjoy these because you never know when it's going to be your last. And I'm like, well, this must have been from months ago. And then you see the timestamp of the tweet.
Yeah.
It was from this last weekend. Like, I don't follow NASCAR. I don't do the car or truck racing thing. It's just not my bag. But we all know who Kyle Busch is. He's one of the most recognizable NASCAR drivers over the last...
He'll drive anything.
Anything. I mean,
and that's
anywhere.
One of the things he's most respected for was truck series, the... I don't know what the second series is. It used to be the Xfinity series. I don't know what it's called now.
But he'll do it all.
But he won a couple of cups early in his career.
Yes, two-time Cup Series champion, won more races across the sports, 3 national series than any driver in history. He's only 41 years old, man. And I mean, it sounds like, so he's dealing with like a serious sinus issue. He was doing some driving. I think it was last week, and he had to ask a doctor to come see him after the race because he was battling something.
There's still more far more questions than answers.
Far more, because it just, you don't see this happen very often. Like 41 years old, he was dealing with a sinus problem, and then you're just immediately dead. It just, one of the more shocking sport deaths that I can remember in a long time, because it just came out of total left field. And so we'll get more information as days go on. But clearly a guy who was a fiery competitor, he was a passionate guy, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I don't follow NASCAR,
well,
even I know that.
He started to have
He was getting into it with other drivers. Like he was,
He stirred the pot, but then late in his career, he was starting to do kind of a Bryson DeChambeau of...
Kind of a redemption tour, if you will.
Yeah.
I've softened a little bit in my older age.
Just appreciating more. You know, you talk about... People talk about, you know, what changes you in life, and most people will look... Becoming a parent or a father...
Yes.
Completely changes your perspective on things.
Yes, it does.
And that apparently was part of what he attributed it to.
Yeah, Dale Jr. was one of the guys. He always went in and he set out a long thing, basically, like, we had a very complicated existence over the years, but then he went into how we... You know, in recent months and years, we've kind of patched it up and been able to laugh about a lot of the stuff that we did and all the arguments and the beefs that we had and all that. It just, man, 41 years old, those kind of things hit you more, too. Like, now that I'm 37 and you see the age of somebody and you're like, dude, I've been battling a little bit of a sinus cold again this week. I'm fine. I don't think it's going to happen. But just a terrifying and horrible story out of the NASCAR world yesterday. I don't watch the sports. Not my cup of tea, but nonetheless, we all know who Kyle Busch is and the impact that he had. 41 years old, RIP. To Kyle Busch. That was a shocking one yesterday. And then you go into the night in sports last night, and you get in the Eastern Conference Finals in both leagues going on.
Yes.
The story, we don't need to spend a lot of time on the NHL, but I do wonder if people locally are watching it because of Tom Dundon. Like, I imagine that there's a somewhat of an interest for Blazer fans. Maybe not. I don't know. But I would think that, like, hey, let's watch how his other team operates, how the fan base is engaged, and all of that. The atmosphere was great. Unfortunately for them...
It was over in about 12 minutes.
Yeah, it was a bonkers start to the game because they scored a goal like 30 seconds in, and it's like, damn, here comes Carolina.
Was it Jarvis that got it?
I think it was Jarvis that scored the first one, and then you look up like 2 minutes later, and it's 3-1 Montreal. And the theme of the Stanley Cup playoffs has been, and I mentioned this on the show yesterday, I bet on Montreal moneyline because Carolina hadn't played a game in 11 days. 11 days off. That's longer than an all-star. That's like an Olympic break almost, man. Yeah. And so it's not their fault. They just were too good in the first two rounds. Montreal went to game seven.
It takes you a minute to, despite, you know, whatever coaches try to do to, you know, scrimmages or let's play a period. And you win. And Montreal just riding adrenaline.
Yes, off all of the game Canada, seven win.
Well, most of Canada. I don't know if
the
Toronto is.
Toronto
most
will
of
not.
Canada is behind them.
The majority of the nation.
And when you are going at that breakneck playoff speed, you know what it is.
Yeah.
And you find it. You can find it very easily. Just Carolina couldn't find that fifth gear, the turbo button that you need for the playoffs.
They settled in after the first period.
And
they gave up four in the first.
Period,
they figured it out. You're down 4-1 after the first period. It's like, all right. So that game, I mean, wasn't great last night. Neither one really was, but that's been kind of the story of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We saw that with Colorado as well. Long layoff. Vegas a little fresher. They win game one. Goaltender sharper.
Now, Vegas, I think, has more of a chance to make that a long series.
Oh, then Montreal does, huh? You're still not buying Montreal?
I think once Carolina, Frederick Anderson's been outstanding in goal.
Yes,
now,
he
got hung out to dry a little bit by his defenders. I'm sure the film session for the defensive pairings is not going to be pretty.
Hey, guys, a little bit of help out here, huh?
For Carolina, like, what are we help. Doing? We don't need three guys to go to the puck on the boards.
No, we don't.
So once they kind of calm down, lock it in.
I think they'll be okay.
And then I think Carolina will still be okay.
I do too. The atmospheres in that series is going to be awesome. When they go back to Montreal, it's going to be insane because it's just, you know, it means everything for them. And so they're trying to end the drought. So that happened last night in Carolina. For those who were not watching, maybe you are watching because of the Tom Dundon stuff. Eastern Conference Finals. Like, look, it's the bastard child of the conference final series, right?
Yeah.
We all have our eyes focused on OKC and San Antonio and the feeling of it being probably the NBA Finals. Whoever wins that, I would imagine, will be a heavy favorite in the NBA Finals.
I don't want to discount this Knicks team anymore.
No, I don't either. Like, the series did lose a bit of the energy, if you will. Like, we saw, again, in hockey, Vegas wins game one on the road, and you're like, oh, okay. You get Montreal winning game one on the road. Like, all right. Like, I still think Colorado and Carolina are going to win those series, but it kind of shuffles the deck a little bit. Cleveland had the chance to do that in game one. They had the lead. They dominated the entire game and just jacket down their leg.
Quit playing.
And all of a sudden, the Knicks storm back. They win the game. And it just, I said it after the game earlier this week. Like, that kind of felt like you had your shot. Kind of announce your presence. Here we go.
Yeah.
Steal a game in New York, which you're going to have to do if you want to win the
series.
They
bounced back. First half was back and forth.
First half was great. And then the second half happened.
And then Cleveland quit shooting.
There's no offense to be found anywhere on that team right now because Mobley's not a great offensive threat. Jared Allen can grab you a ton of rebounds, but
well,
he's not crushing
you.
He didn't
take a shot in the second half.
No,
what
he did not.
Doing?
And James Harden was horrendous in game one and followed it up with a 6 of 15 for 18 points in 32 minutes in game two. He was a minus 22 on the floor. Shocking. They're hunting him defensively every time he is out there. He's a liability on that end of the floor.
That's the biggest issue that Kenny Atkinson has to figure out.
What do you do? The only thing you do is sit him down.
They are hunting Harden. And
yes. Every time he's on the floor, come set a screen. Who's Harden guarding?
Exactly.
Come set a screen. Okay, now I got Brunson on Harden one-on-one.
I
guess
think they might
do.
Have to go flat out to some sort of zone.
Or just sit his ass, because he's not doing anything offensively. Like, that's the other part of it. Like, we get into this bad defensive play. Like, we went through this in the Blazer series with Shaedon Sharpe and the idea of, like, man, he's so bad on that end of the floor, as if he was the only one. But there's a time when you're like, man, you're hurting us so much on one end of the floor that you're unplayable. I don't care what your offensive impact is. It's one thing if he's dropping 35 and he's efficient from the floor.
Yeah, and he's getting to the foul line.
Hooked on the other side.
Out, that sort of thing. But
he's got 18.
They were horrible from the foul line as a team.
Couldn't make free throws. It just that series did not have a ton of intrigue for me going in. And again, game one was a moment of like, oh, okay. And then they gacked it. Yeah. And you're like, no, that kind of went away. And then New York. Handles
Cleveland
business
has
in game
to win
two.
Both of them. Now they might win game three. There's a whole bunch of trends. The one, they're much better. They're a totally different team at home than on the road.
Yes, they are.
New York's game three history when they go up is not good.
Yeah, they lose their focus a little bit. You get the sense of urgency in game three from the home team.
So Cleveland might win game three. I think they're favored in game three.
Yeah.
It's game four. If the Knicks get a split, it's over.
Yes, completely agree.
If Cleveland figures out how to win them both,
right,
they will have figured out some sort of avenue to generate consistent offense throughout a game.
Yeah.
And then it'll be interesting going back to the Garden what things look like. But if they can't take advantage of Mobley and Allen and the size advantage that they have, if they can't get, like, I don't know where they're trying. Why they're not going at Cat to try to get him into foul trouble.
That makes sense. Game one, they had the same thing with Brunson. He had five fouls and they wouldn't attack him. He got five fouls a couple minutes ago in the fourth quarter and
what are we doing?
We just talked about this on the other end when the idea is when Harden's on the floor, what do? You get him as the primary defender and you go at him because he can't do anything. When you get Brunson with five fouls, how is not, Donovan Mitchell, ball at the top of the key, somehow get Brunson to switch onto him through a screen or whatever you need to do. And go at him every time until he fouls out of the game.
Yep.
That should be the entire strategy. I'm with you. A lot of the coaching decisions there, I think that's where, like, we'll get to the coaching debate today, and I'll get to our poll question of the day in a moment, because there's three finalists, according to Mark Stein, for the Blazers job, and we'll talk about that at the top of the hour. I think largely the coaching stuff in the regular season is just, like, mitigating egos and keeping everybody happy.
Yeah,
and
you're
like,
doing that, like, and it's more about, you know, finding consistency in your rotations.
Yeah, getting a rotation down.
You know,
all that.
In a particular game, you know, paying attention in a game is like, okay, we have an advantage here. There's a matchup we think
Let's
we can take
this.
Advantage of.
Yeah.
Or defensively, it's like, hey, I think a zone, you know, you work on different stuff.
You got to throw something else at him because whatever you're doing
but
right now isn't working.
Sometimes you're just looking at your schedule. Okay, this is the fourth game of a 6-game road trip.
Let's get through this one, okay?
And we're playing a team that's on a heater at home.
There's only so much you can do.
There's only so much coaching you can do.
But I think where you see the coaching into this point is
in the playoffs. We have a specific series.
Yes.
We have a chance to, you know.
You knew what they were going to do to James Harden last night, and they did it again to James Harden. And you didn't really have an answer for it.
Atkinson's got
to
come up with something different.
And I don't know what it is other than sitting him down because right now, buddy, it's not good. They need Mitchell to be better offensively. He went for 26, which isn't terrible. A lot of it from the free throw line. No bench production at all from Cleveland.
That's their biggest issue. The Knicks bench, they're getting some stuff from here.
They are. And they're not known for being a super deep team.
No.
New York is. That's one of their liabilities, I think people would argue, going through the playoffs. But that series didn't have a lot of intrigue for me at the start. Now it's 2-0. And if Cleveland wins game three and game four, all right, now you got my attention. But if they get a split,
I'm
out.
Game three,
fast
Cleveland
forward to the NBA
totally
finals.
Come in, the Knicks. Now, I think the Knicks will be just the mentality led by Brunson and Hart. They're not going to just cruise on in.
Yes.
They understand they have a chance to end this pretty quickly.
Right.
and the Thunder and Spurs might beat each other silly for a while.
Hart was pretty damn good last night, man.
It's a great bounce back.
Nice little bounce back game for him. So the Knicks take a 2-0 series lead. Carolina lays an egg, and RIP to Kyle Busch. Quite the day in sports yesterday. We will get to the updated coaching search for the Blazers at the top of the hour. We got our poll question of the day. You can go vote at Thurton Sprague. I'll tell you what that is on the other side. And let's sneak in, though, on our final segment of this hour. A couple NFL news and notes. Lots going on. We got extensions handed out, extra years on contracts. We had somebody tear their Achilles in practice. That's always brutal. This time you're going to miss the entire season. So we'll dive into a couple of nuggies out of the National Football League before we get into the Blazer coaching search at the top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM The Fan.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Hey, welcome back in. 6:43. Happy Friday morning, everybody. Dirt here. No Sprague this morning. He's out enjoying a soon-to-be four-day weekend. Hope everybody is as well. It's going to be 80 degrees today, man. Hope you got something fun planned over the weekend. We will not be here on Monday for Memorial Day. And so we got a lot to jam into on a Friday show. We'll get to the Blazer coaching search coming up at the top of the hour, and that leads me to get this one out there so you can go vote on it, have a little bit of time. Your neighborhood restaurant group brings you the fan poll question on X every day and dinner tonight at one of their five locations, Sandio's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Laurelhurst Market Steakhouse. And it's a very simple one today. Very simple with the news coming out yesterday of a new name being in the coaching search. It reads, who would you want to be? The next Blazer coach, according to Mark Stein, the finalist, Jeff Van Gundy. Yeah, you heard that right. That's his music. Mike Anori or Tiago Splitter. Those are your reported finalists for the head coaching job. At Thurton Sprague on Twitter, you can go vote, and we'll get to those coming up at the top of the hour. Lots of NBA stuff coming up, lots of Blazer stuff coming up next hour of the show. It'll be a college football heavy 8 a.m. hour with lots going on around the world of college football. Let's go to the NFL, though, because there's some interesting things in the news this morning. I did chuckle. One headline that made me laugh yesterday, a guy that I kind of forgot about and is now back because we got OTAs going on, and there's a new coach, and people are saying things about him. This one was fantastic. So Cleveland is going through their OTAs, and we all know who their starting quarterback is going to be because they're paying him $800 million this year. And there was a Jeremy Fowler ESPN report that came out about Deshaun Watson. And the basis of the article is essentially Deshaun Watson holds no ill will towards Cleveland despite the rocky tenure. And he believes Todd Monken's offense can bring out his best, which, one, no, it can't because your career's over. You've popped, you know, both Achilles multiple times, it feels like. I love the idea and the premise that Deshaun Watson, who got traded to Cleveland, is now, he's already made, I believe, in his contract, $175 million fully guaranteed. $175 million fully guaranteed. Is sitting down with an ESPN reporter saying, I hold no ill will towards Cleveland. Why would you hold any ill will towards Cleveland? They have paid you $175 million. Let's take a quick glance.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Thank you. How many games has Deshaun Watson played in Cleveland? Let me pull up the game logs. He's been there. I mean, I no, but it's just, we could do like a million per game. He has played a total.
I don't think he's played in a game.
He has. He has played in 19 games in three seasons. What is $175 million divided by 19? Let's do that math of how many million he has made.
Is that like $8.5 million a year?
And this would be a game. $8.5 million a game.
Am I close?
Let's see. 175.
Off the top of my head,
that's
math.
That's a lot of zeros in there. Divided by 19. 9.2.
9.2.
He has made $9.2 million per game played in a Cleveland
Browns
uniform.
What's his record in those 19 games?
Not very good. You could do it by win, too. How much did he get paid per win? Just insanity. What world are we living in,
well,
man?
Well, we know he lives in a different world.
That is definitely true. I hold no ill will.
I don't know
towards the fan base. Like, dude, screw you. I'd be burning his jersey if I were a Browns fan.
I just don't like, if you are a Brown player that's been there a while through the whole process.
The thick and the thin. Myles Garrett, if you will.
Especially if you're an offensive lineman, any of them that's been there for any length of time, how you can, like, in your head, just, I got to protect this guy.
This situation,
like,
is
that
so
tests
wild.
Every moral fiber of your being.
Oh, it for sure does. It absolutely does.
I'm paid to do this. This is my job. You know, I don't have control over the all that sort of stuff, but.
I got no ill will.
Boy.
If anybody wants to give me $175 million to not work, I will have no ill will towards you either. So if anybody out there wants to do that, holla at me. Let me know. I'm ready for it. I just, that one made me chuckle. That quarterback room is absolutely, because he's definitely going to start. They're paying him $50 million or $60 million, whatever it is.
I
Shador's a backup. Dylan Gabriel's a backup. Like, God, it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, and who'd they draft?
Who did they draft? Did they draft a quarterback
again?
Yeah,
they did.
Let me see. Let's see. They took, who was it? Talen Green,
yes.
The kid from Arkansas,
yeah.
In the sixth round.
Boise Stater.
Former Boise State quarterback. So he's fourth. So now you have three guys in their first or second year in the NFL.
Well, Green,
and a guy making $900 million.
And the guy that should be wondering about his future is Dylan Gabriel, obviously.
Well, that was a dumb pick to begin with. He's incredibly small, and to take him in the third round, what are we doing? I love Dylan Gabriel. He had an unbelievable year at Oregon. Short quarterbacks who are not incredibly athletic, that's not a recipe for success in the National Football
League.
He could
have an A.J. Feely-like career.
He's going to be a good backup. He's good locker room guy.
Incredibly intelligent.
Yes.
He will digest an offense overnight.
No doubt about it.
And is a super positive guy on the team. He's not going to cause problems being a backup.
But for a third round pick, like what? Dude.
Yeah.
That sums up the brand. And I love Dylan Gabriel, but I said at the time he was drafted, I'm just like, that's not going to age well for him.
He could hang around, like I said, A.J. Feely-like career.
Yeah, dude, that's a good career. Go be a backup for 10 years, make a lot of money.
Average $5 to $7 million a year for 15
years.
Go
home and coach Hawaii. Like, dude, it's a win-win. He's going to be fine in life. Just shouldn't have been used a third-round pick on him. Elsewhere in the NFL, outside of Deshaun Watson's delusion, we had Matthew Stafford get the, hey, remember when we took a quarterback in the first round instead of helping you win? That probably stung a little bit. How about
1 year?
$60 million. How's that sound
for
you?
I thought it was 55.
55 up to 60
with incentives.
Yes, he can get all the way to 60. He got another year extended on his deal. 55 guaranteed.
So is he just year to year, or is he going to call it a swan song the way that
he had one more
Aaron
year,
did?
Yeah, he had one more year left on his deal, I believe, if I read correctly. And then so this was an added year on top of that, which, this could just be symbolic.
Okay.
I don't know if it's just he might retire after next year.
Gotcha.
The Super Bowl is in L.A. It's at SoFi. That's got to be, if you walk off, it's got to be hard to not want to do the Elway thing, right?
Yeah.
Of like, we just won another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They already won one at SoFi. The last time I was there, they won. Now it's back at SoFi next year. They were 4 yards away from beating the Seahawks in the NFC title game. Like, you're close. They had a good offseason. If you win, I wouldn't be shocked if he's like, all right, I got an MVP and a couple of rings. I'll see you later. I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer. He already is to begin with. But this was the epitome of ruffle a little feathers there,
let us
quarterback.
Do you a solid.
Instead of getting you some help to put us a little bit further over the top,
how
about we give you $60 million, up to $60 million?
Go.
So he's now under contract through the 2027 season, $105 million left on his deal. So he got that extension yesterday. That happened, and it was a good reminder reading through that of like, that's right, the Super Bowl is back at SoFi. He also, depending, and we talked a lot about Rodgers yesterday because he announced it's his last year.
Thanks for doing that yesterday.
Yes, we got that out of the way. Now I at least defended him. Like, he wasn't coming out saying, "Give me a rocking chair everywhere I go." Like, he was asked, are you going to? He was like, no, this will be my last year.
This
he
is
just
it.
Answered a
Thank
question.
Thank you for just saying.
Get it out of the way.
I'm done.
We don't need to.
Did he introduce his wife?
He is not introduced.
Oh, okay.
No, she's still. No. She doesn't like the limelight, Swigard. Okay. She likes being behind the scenes. He is Matthew Stafford. Now, the way we view these records is probably going to evolve over time. It'll become easier as the NFL continues to go forward because more guys will jump into this list.
Yeah.
You know where Matthew Stafford is on the all time passing yard list in the NFL?
Is he somewhere around number five?
He is number six.
Yeah.
Number six all time. Aaron Rodgers is number five. He is only 1,758 yards behind Rodgers. So depending on how their 2 years go, not inconceivable that he catches
him
this
year. Well, if Stafford plays another year after this,
he's definitely catching him.
So,
yeah. But he threw for nearly 5,000 yards last year.
Is Brady or Breeze?
Because
Breeze threw for a ton of yards.
Yeah, let me see. All time. I believe it goes Brady, Breeze, Manning.
Okay.
But who would be four? That's a great question. Let me see. It's a fun little trivia game. Yeah, Brady's, nobody's ever touching Brady. He's at 89,000 passing yards. So just to put it in perspective, Stafford is sixth all time. He's had an 18-year, I believe, NFL career.
Yeah.
He started day one, first overall pick.
He's played, other than being injured, he's played all the time.
This might become one of the new unbreakable records that we talk about in years to come. Stafford, 18 years, started every year of his career, is at 64,000.
Okay.
He is more than 20,000 yards behind. Like, he would legitimately have to play until he's 45.
Five more seasons.
Your top five is Brady 1, 89,000. Breeze 2, 80,000. Peyton Manning 3, 71,000. That's already, from 1 to 3, it's a massive gap. Favre fourth, 71,000, and then Aaron Rodgers fifth, 66,000. So Stafford's got a chance to climb. If he plays one more year, to your point, he'll definitely be top five in passing yards.
Okay. Who was four? Sorry, Elway?
Favre is four. Yeah. Elway is 12th. That's the other tough part.
Yeah,
of this.
I don't know.
The game has evolved so much.
I don't know where the line of demarcation is between the Marinos and Elways.
Fran Tarkenton being in the top 15 is pretty remarkable, considering the era he played in. Let's see. Warren Moon's 13th on this list. That's pretty remarkable. That was a long time ago. Your next active guys on this list, Flacco is 14th. Russell Wilson, 16th. They're both down in the high 40s. And then my guy, Kirk Cousins, top 20 all-time in
Kirkers!
He's got more passing yards than Drew Bledsoe in his career. He's 19th all-time on the list. So he got an extension. Elsewhere in the NFL, quickly, as we take a quick glance at other things, the Giants lost one of their defensive linemen, Roy Robertson-Harris, tore his Achilles at practice yesterday. Yeah, that's brutal.
That's brutal.
They were practicing inside because it was raining out, and boom, Achilles pop. He's going to miss the entire 2026 season. Remember, they got rid of Dexter Lawrence, so he was going to maybe be a bigger role guy. I think he had one more year left on his deal. That's brutal. The Giants also extended. This is kind of something you don't usually see. When they hired Harbaugh, I kind of thought, well, that's weird to do, not have the head coach and the GM kind of come in together. Usually those things like to line up. And they didn't do that. They kept, I always say his name wrong. Is it Joe Shane? Showen? How do you say
Shane.
It? Shane. Okay, thank you. So Joe Shane was their GM. He's been their GM a long time. Famously, his kid tossing a football around saying, draft Jaden Daniels.
Sure.
They gave him an extension yesterday. They love the offseason that he's had. They gave him a multi-year extension yesterday. And so evidently the marriage between him and John Harbaugh is going well. It's simpatico.
Well, Harbaugh's calling all the shots or he has veto power, so.
I would have met, yeah. So. He got a deal, 47, got an extension. So there's a couple of NFL nuggies for you.
There you go.
From yesterday, lots to get to in hour two. Just getting underway. 1 hour down, 3 hours to go. Happy Friday, everybody. Jeff Van Gundy, did you hear his music? Because he might be running down the tunnel to be the next head coach of your Portland Trailblazers. The poll question is up. You can go vote. Let's talk about it. According to Mark Stein, we got three finalists. Who do you want to get the job? 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. Loaded second hour next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.